Welcome back, 802-97.5 The Fanatic, as we broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you, Josh Raby producing. Run until 10 o'clock as we are joined by my guy, my partner, JT. It's good to be back with you, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, I'm surprised you recognize me.
It's been a while.
It's been a while since we've gotten to do this, but I'm excited, man. Yeah. It is plenty to talk about, and well, I mean, it's not the most exciting stuff to talk about when you're talking about people beating the Jets 48-4 or whatever the score was. And some people
are giving
out two safeties.
Yeah, exactly. Two safeties. That's all they get. But yeah, it's going to be a good time. Football's almost back. It's been a long time since it's been here.
Yeah, football Friday. But Joe, I mean, nobody's really worried about the Jets on Sunday, as you just said, with the scores being what they are. And we just ran them off again. Josh and I did during the break. And we were like, man, look at all these routes on Sunday that we're getting ready for. Joe, there's no way in the world the Jets can beat the Eagles, right?
Well, I mean, we've said that before, and I've usually been the one to, like, caution, like, not so fast, let's hold on. And then I look and I see that the Jets have scored one offensive touchdown since week one, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe this is the one. Maybe if there's one that you can point to and be like, it's going to be an easy one, maybe this is the one. But having said that, there are matchups that you have to worry about. As long as you take care of the individual matchups that concern the Eagles, which mm-hmm. is to say, you know, their front and things like that, then you should be okay. The Jets are not a good team.
No, they are not. And running through some of the stats, they average 11 points on offense. Not very good. They are 32nd in a couple of key statistical categories. Not good.
Not good.
They have problems. And that's just evident that they have problems.
Well, the Jets, they've had problems before.
And the thing is, man, they have, and I always bring this up, since we've been talking about it, bring this up.
Yeah.
I love Jamal Adams.
Uh-huh. Yeah, me too.
You know I like Quinnen Williams.
I do.
Leonard Williams is still a good player.
Quinnen
obviously.
Williams could have been the number one pick in the draft, by the way.
You're not crazy. You're not crazy at all.
Yeah.
But hey.
Hey, you know.
It is what it is. And they have some stuff on the defensive side of the ball. Le'Veon Bell is still going to get his. But when we're talking about Darnold being out, the fact that they have, their third-string quarterback?
Yes. Luke Falk.
How are they going to get this done? They are not good.
No. Well, and here's the thing, right? You say that Le'Veon Bell's going to get his. He hasn't, though. Like, that's how bad things are there, is that, like,
not normal Le'Veon stuff.
Right.
He's just going to get some stuff that has to fill up the statistical category.
Because someone's got to do
something.
Someone
has to do something.
Yeah, and that's been the case, right? Like, you saw Quincy Enunwa go out with the injury. He's kind of there, like, you know, a step above a possession receiver, right? He's like their combat catch guy. He reminds you of like a super light Alshon Jeffrey in terms of the role that he plays on the offense.
Okay.
Robbie Anderson hasn't done anything. Now, that's quarterback dependent. That's not an indictment on Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, a little bit of that.
Jameson Crowder's done nothing. Offensively, their line's been a mess. They haven't been able to protect. They haven't been able to run. They haven't been able to throw. They haven't been able to get anything done. Defensively, you mentioned a couple of interesting pieces that they have. They've been all banged up on defense. Yep. No C.J. Mosley. He might go, might not
That's
go.
That's why I didn't mention. I said they have stuff, but he might not even be out there.
You can't fault the Jets for trying, right? They identified, they were like, we're going to go out and get the top offensive guy, and we're going to go out and get the top defensive guy,
yes.
And just none of it works.
Yes.
Because, Sam Darnold's spleen might explode at any time because he's got that high school kissing disease that Josh Raybick could tell us more about at some point.
Wow.
Time for bed. That means you. No hot girls. No.
So the question tonight, and we'll get to some of the Sixers stuff as well, is Drew wants to talk some Sixers, and we have some other guys that are definitely in on the Eagles, 610-632-0975. My question, Joe, tonight has been, if they don't get Ramsey, as you've been talking about during the week and last week as well, because we've been talking about him for about 3 weeks now.
Yes.
If they don't get Ramsey, Harris, Peterson, I've left like a dark horse for Howard. Even though we know they're not going to do that because Miami wants to keep someone that's a face.
And he's sold supposedly too. Like people were asking me, how do you think Howard feels? It's like supposedly they had a meeting. They were like, yeah, we're ripping this thing down and you're like the center of it.
Sure.
And he's like, all right, I'm getting paid either way, guys.
Exactly.
So let's make this happen.
My face is going to be everywhere and we're in Miami. Cool.
Yeah, I'm good.
My question is, if they strike out on acquiring one of these, one of these players.
Yeah.
They are going to get some help. Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby,
LeBlanc. Maybe LeBlanc at some point.
Maybe LeBlanc at some point. Avante Maddox, healthy again, hopefully. Sidney Jones, healthy again, hopefully. Rasul Douglas, playing pretty good, right? He's the only constant that you have.
Right, yep.
And who knows? Craig James might go out there and shut guys down and get two interceptions on Sunday against Luke Falk. Joe, they're going to give some people back.
They are.
They've won the Super Bowl with Mills and Darby, Douglas. The rest of them were not there. Can they? Can they still? Do they have enough? Can they still get it done is the question.
Well, so the answer is the same as whatever you felt it was early in the season. Like, you ever get into an argument with somebody?
Well, you already know how I felt there.
Well, yeah, of course.
Even though I had them at 11-5, I thought they would be in the NFC Championship game.
Because they're offense.
But giving up, exactly.
I get in arguments with people all the time, and they bring out these, like, outlier scenarios. Like, what if this were to happen, or what if that were to happen? I'd be like, okay, then I feel your way about it in those scenarios. So outside of those scenarios, do you agree with me on everything? They're like, no. I'm like, okay, then why'd you bring it up? It doesn't matter, right? The injuries aren't really the story with the secondary, right? Because if you didn't have faith in them like Devon didn't...
It's the talent.
Then who cares? It's who cares if they're hurt or not? You know what I mean? If they weren't going to get the job done, am I worried that their backups can get the job done if the start... You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a weird way to look at it. Like, the injuries have made the Eagles make a change. Like, no, they weren't good to begin with,
and
bro.
I want to jump in there real quick and jump on what you're saying just to say this. I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm saying they're all... twos and threes and fours, where if you get Ramsey, Harris, Peterson, Howard, whoever it may be, man, these guys look pretty good.
Sure. Playing the actual roles.
Playing
that
their actual
to be.
Roles. Yes. Yes. So that's my thing. And I still think, as you talked about, some credit has to go to Jim Schwartz with what he's had to work with the last two seasons.
I think he's done the best job of any of the coaches.
You have to give him credit for what he's done. So we're not ignoring anything that he's done because he's done a pretty good job in considering. And with that, do they have enough is the question. 610-632-0975. If and when those players do come back, they'll be back. But how good are they? Because they are coming off of injuries.
I'm torn on the Chris Harris thing.
Okay, why?
I'm torn for a couple of reasons. Okay. One, he wants to play outside.
Yes, he does.
Which he would probably do here because he's better than every corner that you have, right?
Without question.
I do wonder if you're getting into a little bit of Manny Machado territory where, you know, Manny Machado is like a decent shortstop and he's like an outrageous third baseman and he says he wants to play shortstop. And if you're a responsible coach or manager, you say, I don't care what you want to do. Are you serious? You're like the Hall of Fame level third baseman. I don't care if you want to play shortstop.
Because Harris played the slot when Roby and Aqib Talib, when they were winning.
Very well.
Very well.
Now, the only guy who, and this guy's not exclusively a slot receiver, but he does some work at the slot. The only guy who torched him was Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's the only guy, to my knowledge, that has gotten Chris Harris.
Well, he does that to people, and sometimes you just have those Achilles heels. Yeah. It just happens.
Yeah, it's just a bad matchup for you, whatever. Like, we've seen that. So the question becomes, right, A, are you acquiring Harris to lock down slot receivers, right? Because the Eagles have been weak defending slot receivers, right? Either tight ends or the little quick guys, whatever it is.
Cole Beasley, Jameson Crowder.
Yeah, that crew. Yeah, they haven't been good at defending those guys, right? Are you getting him because of that? Or are you getting him to play the outside? And if you're getting him to play the outside, is he the one that you need for the rest of the outside wide receivers on your schedule? Does that make any sense?
Yes.
You know, so like,
and does the style of defense that Jim Schwartz play help him if he is on the outside?
Right. Does it work? Does it work? If he's on the outside. I think that it would work if he's on the inside.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Well, listen, he's going to be out there a lot because teams play three wide receivers and up.
Sure.
And he's going to be out there a lot if that is the case. You had them winning 12 games at the beginning
of
the season.
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time. And, I mean, that doesn't mean that you're going to change your mind when it comes to them still winning double digits. With those corners that we were talking about.
Yes.
And Mills wasn't even ready yet. So that's what we're asking everyone. 610-632-0975. And to give you a prediction so far, Josh, what are our averages? Phones, callers talking Eagles-Jets score for Sunday.
Right now, just averaging the Eagles callers because we're going to exclude that Jets fan. I'm sorry.
Oh, all right.
It's 33.7 Eagles, 9.7 Jets. So at some 10. Point in there, we're getting a 0.7.
Okay. All right. I don't know how you do that, But that'd be cool to see that. That's three field goals.
Yeah.
So we're averaging out 34-10 is the average so far with these teams.
The Patriots beat the Jets when the Patriots were at home 30-14. So that means you're going to spank them worse than the Patriots.
The Eagles do average 27.5 points per game on offense.
It's really good.
Yes.
I mean, it's good. It's not like, you know, it's not crazy.
A lot of points.
But that's a lot of points, yeah. I'm sorry, there are some crazy offenses in the NFL right now.
I believe the Jets give up 23, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. Sixers conversation as well, 610-632-0975. Let's go to Drew in Westchester next, who's been waiting on 97.5. What's up, Drew?
Yeah, what's going on, Devon? What's going on, Joe? How you guys doing tonight?
Good. Hey, Drew.
Hey, yeah, actually, I'm pretty much in the consensus with the Eagles fans here too. And actually, I was going to give my score as 34-10, so I'm
right
there in the average. Yeah, so that's kind of funny that that's what it came out to be. So yeah, I think, you know, this week should be a no-brainer, hopefully, for the Eagles. And if it's not, then we definitely have a lot to talk about come Monday. So, really, my Sixers conversation was, you know, I think we can all pretty much agree that I guess the Sixers and the Bucks are pretty much the two top teams in the East, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So here's my question. Who do you think may come in there and be like a, you know, a dark horse candidate to that may, you know, sneak up on us and surprise us this year? I know
Is it dark horse? Or if dark horse, do you mean Orlando's and Detroit's and things of that nature? Because if you ask me that right now, I'm going to say the team that might sneak in there will be Indiana and Boston and maybe even Brooklyn, despite Kevin Durant not being available.
Yeah, I'm talking about, you know, a team that can, you know, maybe give us a little trouble, you know, and you know, when it comes to playoff time especially.
Yeah, see, I think they're good. I think they're good. But I will watch out for Indiana.
Too, you know, but
Indiana, Boston, and Brooklyn will be my three teams.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was thinking, because I guess Boston, Toronto, where Toronto's pretty much they're not really going to be in play this year after winning it last year and losing.
They'll still be a playoff team. I think they'll be a top five team still, because there's some prideful players there. They figured it out. They have a system, even though Kawhi Leonard isn't there. They have a system in which it worked a year ago. Some tweaks, certainly, because you don't have him. But they're still a good team. They've been in playoffs for years now. Kyle Lowry's a proud player. You have a guy like Marc Gasol. Drew, thanks for the call, who's a proud player. And Pascal Siakam might be a budding all-star. For all we know at this point. Fred VanVleet knows his role, and he is someone who can score off the bench. For them, they have some stuff. They still have some stuff. So I'm not sleeping on them at all.
Well, I'm going to be really peeved if the team that seems to have had the Sixers number the last couple of years, the Boston Celtics, lose Kyrie and lose, in my opinion, one of the most annoying players to play against in Horford to you, and the Celtics still manage to be a thorn in your side. That's going to be super annoying if that happens that way.
If you had to, I agree with you. But I mean, they are going to be a problem just because they still have a good coach. They still have a good general manager who put together a nice team.
Yeah.
And as we talk about Simmons and Embiid being better year after year, so are Brown and Tatum going to be better year after year. We don't know how much, but they're going to be better, where you still have to pay attention big time to the Boston Celtics.
You did. Well, and like I said, nothing's going to be a walkover. But my problem is if they end up being the thorn team that, like, just keeps getting you, that I'm not going to like that at all, considering the fact that I do think that the Sixers are a top two team at worst in the Eastern Conference. So if they're in tight ones all the time with Boston, you're going to be getting texts from me like, what the hell, dude? What's going on here?
I thought you had this team figured out by now.
Yeah.
The guys left and you stole one. What is going on? I hear you. So who would be? Before we get to the Eagles, talk with the rest of the callers, 610-632-0975. Who would be that team for you?
I mean, if I had to pick one, it's probably them. Like, it's probably, like, the teams that you'd consider, like, not Milwaukee's, right? Like, the teams that you'd consider to be the best.
No, because I think those are going to be the two in the Eastern Conference Finals.
And I wouldn't pick them anyway, but, like, looking at it, probably Boston, just from familiarity. Like, Brad Stevens has had success against the Sixers stars and known what the effective ways to defend them are, at least make them work a little bit more for what they've done. Like, that's probably the only team that you look like. there's no other team that's made moves that I think are good. I think that the Sixers might not lose a game against Toronto this season.
I might agree with you, like, there.
They might crush that team just from a matchup standpoint. Wise, yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Indiana, I'm always hot and cold on Indiana just because you never... When their offense isn't going, it just doesn't go. You know what I mean? And there's very little in terms of high variance like there is with the Indiana Pacers, where they're either killing people or they just, like, it looks like there's nothing happening.
Yes.
I'm not scared of Brooklyn yet, are you?
Not yet, but...
I'll be scared in due time, don't worry.
But they had their problems with them, and he did not have a Kyrie Irving on their team.
But now, they had a guy to do, like, D'Angelo Russell did some Kyrie stuff. Like, not exactly the same way that Kyrie Irving could do
impactfully,
it.
Impactfully, it might be a little different.
Oh, of course it'll be different.
I think it'll be a little different.
I'll wait until next year to worry about Brooklyn. I don't know. I mean, I'd have to pick Boston, I think, would be the one that I would look at that you don't think is going to do a whole lot. But
yeah, see,
it'd be an annoying
thing. Yeah, I never give up on Boston just because...
Can't.
You cannot do it. They'll get you and they'll punch you in your face and you're like, damn, I thought... You know, but yeah, Boston is going to be a tough out.
And
for
in your mind, walking out of the center, you'll be like, yeah, whatever. The Sixers are playing for bigger stuff than Boston. But then you come back to it, it's like, damn, can't get past
them.
I
have to see them in the second round.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah,
absolutely. 610-632-0975. And they have a game next Tuesday. How about that?
That's an early start, man.
Next Tuesday.
We're getting rolling.
Next Tuesday, the blue-white scrimmage tomorrow in Delaware at the 76ers field house, the Bluecoats home.
Nice.
It's going to be packed in there. D-line them 12 to 3, so she'll be on after you guys.
Yes, that'll be awesome.
Yes.
Looking forward to that.
610-632-0975. Andrew in Phoenixville checking in with us on the Fanatic. Andrew.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Andrew, what's up, man?
Happy Friday. Thank God it's here, and I'm looking forward to Sunday's beating of the New York, what do I call them, Propellers? Not Jets, but Propellers, I guess. yeah, their team, you know, honestly, I feel bad for them because every year, even like the Browns, every year they always seem to look good on paper, but then they just fall apart. And I just feel bad for the Jets because they haven't had a good year, what, since Joe Namath, maybe? So, you know, it's going to be an easy win, but I feel, and I honestly do feel that it could be a trap game. Trey and the boys were talking about that this week and maybe last week as well, as trap games. I feel like this could be a trap game, and I hope that we go into it with the mentality of starting off fast with our offense and getting our defensive line off the ball quick to get the sacks and get the hurries and get the pressures on the QB, which obviously is the third stringer, so he hasn't had any or little experience with NFL, the speed of the NFL game, plus playing us. So, you know, the concern I do have is with the secondary, obviously with all the injuries. The one play I always get concerned about with the secondary is the stop and go, because we always seem to get trapped on the stop and go with our secondary, and then the quarterback just throws it up and somehow they catch it because our secondary are like, you know, 5-10 yards behind them because of that stop and go play. So if they can continue to watch film this, or hopefully, you know, obviously they can't anymore because it's, you know, Friday, but if they, you know, watch film of the Jets, see what they do in terms of their wide receivers, and cover them down low instead of get behind them, I think we'll have a really good, successful game. And honestly, I would like to see a shutout. I really would.
All right, so and, give it to us.
Yeah, I mean, if we can keep the wide receivers and the offense off the field and continue to do our 27-point average game, you know, maybe put up to 40 points, I think we could have a really good shutout game.
All right, so give us the score.
I'm gonna say 35-0.
35-0. How about that? Thanks for the call. 35-0. Take that, Joe.
Season's over. Beat the Packers. 35-0 over the Jets.
35-0 over
All
the
right.
Jets. There you go.
I don't know what my prediction's gonna be. It will not be that large.
No, it won't be a shutout.
It will. Well, I don't even know if it's going to be that many points. I mean, that's a lot of points for all of the hate that we're laying on the Eagles.
They
and
just
all
put
the
up 34
that we lay on
Green
the defense
Bay on the road,
but on the defense, right? Like to have it be
well, Luke Falk is out there. They're gonna get like we talk about turnovers. Yeah. They're gonna get a turnover on Sunday.
Did you see what Pittsburgh did against Cincinnati with Mason Rudolph at quarterback? All right, son. We're going to have you throw the ball 2 yards down the field.
Yes.
And in any spot that's important, we're going to have a running back take the snap instead.
Like, yes.
The Jets are going to have to figure something out at some point.
Le'Veon Bell, they gave him all that money. He's going to play three positions.
Let it rip, dude.
Let it rip.
You're already the leading receiver.
Yes. Hey, Shan, hang on, man. We're going to give you all your time on the other side. So please hang on. We'll get to you. 610-632-0975. The 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Club Risqué, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations in Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. 610-632-0975 to talk to us, Josh Rabick's producing right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
829-97.5 The Fanatic. Joe Torty, Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock together. Joe running until midnight, 610-632-0975. As we talk some birds.
I broke Sixers. All of the computers in this studio.
Did you?
So I'm pretty, I for all I know, I might be going through smoke signal at this point.
Yeah,
you know, to get my voice out over the airwaves. So if anyone wants to tweet, we'll have to do it the old-fashioned way, tweeting via carrier pigeon. So yes. Make sure that it makes it to Bala Cynwyd so that we can get everything all squared away here.
See if the pigeon can find his way in the building.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are all kinds of holes in the building at the moment.
This,
so it shouldn't be that hard.
This is true. 610-632-0975. Talking some birds and the...
birds.
The birds. Talking some birds and their cornerback. Hey, making sure that the wide receivers don't catch everything.
Yeah, so what do you think about the Chris Harris thing that I mentioned earlier?
You bring up obviously a good point, but here in this particular situation, we've seen Avante Maddox, who might be a better inside corner, play outside out of necessity. Because
yes.
He, as you just said, when you talked about Chris Harris, if he's here, he might have to be outside because he's the best one of all.
He's your best guy.
Yeah, you just do it. It's not as if he cannot do it. He wants to do it. So this is not Denver. So if he comes here, he's probably coming here with the belief that he is going to be in the outside corner helping out in that way. And when certain personnel groups are out there, then yes, he may have to wind up on the inside if Mills or Darby are there because they are more suited for outside and he's inside playing that slot. And the same thing for Avante Maddox and LeBlanc and on and on and on. And that's the thing, man. We bring up all these names. And again, they have names. It's a matter of... They have names because we've seen them win it. Do they have names where you can continue to be this type of defense with names because you know them where the names don't necessarily bleed off the talent?
Right. It's a worthwhile question, right? Do we know all these names because these guys have been here for a while?
And they won a Super Bowl.
Right. Or do we know these guys' names because they're good enough to be Super Bowl corners, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
You can talk about Trent Dilfer and Joe Flacco and be like, those are Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. I don't know why I just picked on the Ravens twice. That was unnecessary. But just two guys that came to my mind that are not good that won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And like that's, you could say, yeah, but the team around them was built so that they could win a Super Bowl without being Super Bowl quarterbacks.
Correct.
On the flip side, I think that's exactly what happened with the Eagles, right? Like you didn't see the corners making mega plays in the Super Bowl, right? I think that Tom Brady threw for like 500 yards in one game
against them.
And it was, you know, Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett wearing the capes at the end of the day for the defense. And obviously Nick Foles going crazy and Trey Burton throwing the perfect pass and all that other good stuff that you know that led to the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. So, I mean, they won a Super Bowl with these guys is not to me, an endorsement of their corners in any way. They won a Super Bowl, and these guys were also there.
Yes, totally agree.
And the one who had all the interceptions is not here, by the way. So Patrick Robinson's out. So that's the only one where you'd be like, oh, yeah, that guy made a big-time impact on the way to the Super Bowl.
610-632-0975. Shannon in Georgia's been hanging on. Shannon, thanks so much, man. You're on the Fanatic.
Hey, guys. It's always good to talk to you guys. Thanks for the call again.
Always.
Hey, real quick, I'll just put the Ramsey to rest, man. Ramsey's not coming to Philadelphia, man. He's not a Howie guy. He brings guys in with culture. You know, he tries to get good locker room guys.
Like what Ramsey,
I agree with Jeff. LeGarrette Blount got a bad rap, man. LeGarrette Blount was a bit loved from Oregon to everywhere he played, college and pros. Man, they love him. You know, they love him. He's a very competitive guy.
They didn't love him in Tampa or in Pittsburgh.
You got to also look at some of the riffraff he had going on there at the same time. I mean, I think there was an issue there with him and Le'Veon Bell when Bell first got there. But anyway, that's a whole nother nine yards. We disagree on that. I think LeGarrette got a bad rap, especially for that incident at Oregon. Hey, Chip Kelly loved him, so he must be a good guy, right? But anyway, Ramsey's not an Eagle. He's not personality wise. He's not a fit here. It ain't going to work. He's a man to man corner. I agree with Seth Joyner. If it's me, I'm going after Patrick Peterson with everything I got. If I can give him a fourth round and pay him $7 million, I'd rather have a guy like that that can also be a great kickoff returner. It reminds me of one of the best corners I ever saw in Darryl Green at Washington. I think he's a clone of Patrick Peterson. And Darryl Green played corner at lockdown when he was about 39 years old. So that's a good thing. But anyway, I wanted to get a little NBA. I saw something interesting because I was trying to get on the conversation, the topic about who else in the Eastern Conference is going to give the Sixers any competition. Because I really don't see anything out there. I think the Nets are going to implode with Irving on that team and taking minutes from Dinwiddie. I think that's a horrible situation. I don't think Milwaukee's going to be any better. But what gets me is going to be playoff time. Is it me or possibly two out of the top four draws on TV probably aren't going to make the playoffs next year? And the Pelicans in Dallas, think about that. You know, so I'm wondering how much longer the NBA is going to stick with this format and have Orlando and Detroit in the playoffs this year, expecting people to watch that junk, and have Zion and Doncic, you know, and even Memphis is going to be exciting. You know, I look forward to them with Jackson coming on board and the kid from Michigan State, and then Giles coming. It's exciting basketball.
Yeah, they're going to win like 20 games.
Yeah, I know that.
But I know what you're saying. Excited to see the young guys.
More games, you know, than the seventh place team in the East, and Dallas. Don't sleep on them. But what I'm saying is, I wonder what the effect is going to be when the number one draw in the league next year is going to be that Pelicans team, you know, sitting home after they won, 44 games next year? And you're going to have a 38-win Detroit team playing the playoffs last year. I'm looking forward to see what happens and what the NBA does when that happens, because it's all about dollars and cents.
Yeah, man. Real fast, score this weekend, what you got?
You know what? You know, I'm going to go a little lower than everybody else. I'm thinking about 17-7. I think they'll score one touchdown. I think they're going to score a touchdown. I'm predicting Jamal Adams is going to get a fumble recovery for a touchdown. So 17-7 Eagles.
Wow, a defensive score. Shan, thanks for the call, man. A defensive score for the Jets is that bad for them?
I mean, I think their defense has more scores than the offense now. I think they have three defensive touchdowns and one offensive touchdown. So, no, not out of the realm of possibility there for Shannon. He's barking up the right tree based on the stats.
Mm.
Man, oh man, that team's bad.
They are. We talked about before the season, the Christmas Day game.
Yeah.
And the schedule.
Yeah.
Opening night.
Huh?
And you were right on when you said New Orleans would get one of those marquee games. I'm like, yeah, I think you're right, but there's too many others.
Right, yeah.
That have to
be
like, there.
They should, but someone's got to get squeezed.
You
yeah.
were on it. And Shan just talked about it. They are going to get some marquee games. They're going to be a fringe playoff team because they have too much veteran stuff with Drew, JJ, Derek Favors at the five, which is a nice compliment to Zion. And let's see how Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram bounce back.
It could work. Like, I'm not saying it's going to work, like, with a capital W, but, like, they could be, like, a basketball team. They could certainly be competing for that last spot.
They very well could be.
What do you think of Zion being measured? Because I mentioned this
not
to Steve Lynam.
Surprised at all.
I'm excited about the fact that they're putting a bigger emphasis now on how tall the people actually are. Wow. Did you see this? I think it's cool. I think that the NBA shouldn't be pro wrestling. Like, you shouldn't, with all due respect to Josh Raybeck, back in the day, you're talking about people that are, you know, 6'10" or 6'9", and they're like, the 7'4" freak, because like everybody else there is like 5'10", 5'11", you know what I mean? Like, I think
be the man! You gotta beat the man!
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, that kind of era. I think it's cool to think of how big these guys actually are versus like the intimidation factor of maybe adding 3 inches or subtracting inches in the case of Kevin Garnett and Kevin Durant and like those guys. I think it's cool.
And Durant, he doesn't want to be known as a 7-footer. He wants his to be lower.
Right, yeah, taking inches away. KG was the same way. I don't know. Like, for me, it was always bizarre. My dad brought me to a high school football game once when I was like, you know, 8 or 9 years old. And when you're 8 or 9 years old, you think that kids in high school are like behemoths. You think that they're...
Sure.
And he's like, all right, this team's going to come through this gate and this fence right here. We're going to stand right here and tell me what you think. And I stood there and I was like, they're not that big. You know, they're a little bigger. They're not that... I think it's way more interesting if you knew that Allen Iverson was 5'9 or 5'10. You know what I mean?
I love my little dudes.
Like, I think it's way more interesting.
Perfect.
If you find out about the little dudes.
Perfect.
I don't know. What do you think? You seem like you're not a fan of the actual heights.
It's not that I'm not a fan of it. It's more of, yeah, we knew that.
Yeah, but not everybody did. You're a smart guy. I don't think a lot of people knew
fair.
For sure.
Okay.
Because you're standing next to these guys all the time. You're like, all right, I know how tall I am.
Yeah.
And I can see how tall
and
you
I'm
are.
I'm short.
Right, yeah.
But, all right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I can see 6'2".
Right, yeah,
instead
right.
Of 6'4".
Right. And that's why I think it's way more interesting, because then you find out about the people who actually are 6'9", who are like, I think that LeBron James's stats are 100% correct, right? Like, I think that he's a guy who's like
6'9". Own it.
Yeah, 6'8", 6'9".
260.
And just runs like a gazelle. Let us marvel in it for like it being actually what it is, because there are probably a lot of guys that are, you know, 6'3", 6'4". 195 pounds or something like that to play the wing, that can do a lot of cool stuff.
Anybody that you really want to know their height? Or,
well, so this is a more personal. I really want to know what Zion Williamson's weight is. Well, I'm more interested in that.
Let me see what his weight is right now.
At Duke, they listed him at 6'7", 285.
285.
Okay. But what they listed him at Duke.
Let's see what the Pelicans have him. Trying to go to... I don't see their website.
That's good for search engine optimization.
Is it ever? I'm on... Yeah, I see ESPN every... I type his name. I think I'm just going to go right to him. Right to the team.
That's amazing.
And all right, at the combine, he was 285. 6'7", 285.
He was at 6'7", 285 at the combine, and now he's 6'6", so he lost an inch somewhere.
He lost
there.
An inch in there somewhere.
That's a shame.
6'6", and I do now have the team's website, and the Pelicans currently have Zion Williamson listed at 6'7", 285.
Except it came out today that he was
6'6".
So,
but again, I'm not surprised.
Well, the two that I want to know, and it's not a big secret, I want to know Embiid, because I don't believe that he's grown 3 inches since he was drafted.
See, sometimes he's 7'2". They list him as 7 foot. Right?
Right.
People say he's 7'2".
Right.
He's listed as 7 foot.
And Simmons. I want to know those two guys. I bet that Simmons is like 6'9", and I bet that Embiid is 7 feet tall. But Embiid's not like 7'3".
I think Ben is 6'10".
You think he actually is 6'10"?
I think he's 6'10".
All right.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Okay.
Those are the two guys that I'll be watching.
All right. 610-632-0975. How tall are you?
6'5".
5'6". Josh, run with it. With yours?
6 foot even.
There you go.
All right.
All right. We're not lying.
No. You don't hype it up. You don't be like, you know, and starting tonight's evening lineup at 6'3" and 6'1", you
it
know.
It is what it is.
Look, it's not going to change it. Just talk about it. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Let's get into more on the other side right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
A47 here on The Fanatic. Joe Torty, Devine Givens with you until 10 o'clock. 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Joe, with you until midnight.
Yeah, I'll stay after that.
You stay after that?
Yeah. Right. You came in before, put in the time early. I'll put in the time late.
All right.
It'd be like the throwback to our old days.
Well, let me tell you about this then. Talking about the old days. 10th anniversary, Joe.
Oh, man.
Old days, we would do the All-Star Day. Guess what? It's back. Fanatic is celebrating our 10th anniversary next Thursday on 10-10. 10-10.
10-10.
How about that? Celebrate.
10 on the 10-10. That's awesome. That's like all the people that were getting married.
How about that?
July 7th of 07. You know? That's awesome. That's 10, really cool.
10-10. So to celebrate, we are bringing back the Fanatic All-Star Day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. You'll be able to hear all of our hosts in different time slots, including their own. So, on that Thursday, I'm sure, we'll be in our spots. I believe we will be in our spot on Thursday. So, you'll be able to hear Mike.
Yes.
On the morning show.
Yes.
Anthony and Jason with Mike, as well as the morning show on television with Mike.
That's nice. That's pretty awesome.
Not bad. Our All-Star Day schedule of hosts and times will be posted on our website soon. So, stay tuned for that. It's a fun day to celebrate 10 great years, and thanks to all of our listeners.
I don't know what our responsibilities are going to be for this.
I don't know. We got the question of when are you available.
And I said I am. I'm a team player. I said I'll make myself available anytime after, you know, baby grogginess o'clock, right?
You didn't get a number?
I haven't heard anything yet.
Okay.
And then I assume that, you know, because the schedule says, that's why I assume, we're back in our spot afterwards.
Yeah, but that just means we'll be in early and then still have to do our show.
That's what I'm saying. There's going to be nobody coming to help us out.
No.
The All-Star show ends at 6.
Yeah, so we're not important.
No, well, that's
we
what
don't need any All-Stars at night.
We already got Josh Rabick's here, you know.
Well, yeah, he's our All-Star.
He's our All-Star.
Yeah, Tyler exactly. Zulli, Pat Egan.
Thad Castle does an outstanding job back there, you know.
Do I go this way?
Yes, exactly.
So the morning show.
Yeah.
That's five people. So that's five people, two on the middays, that's seven.
Yeah.
Mike, Ty, Nat.
Uh-huh.
That's 10.
Yeah.
Us, it's 12.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people. D, Stazak.
Yeah, Rob Motti,
Pat Egan.
Yeah, Tyler Zulli, likely involved.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, we got
Josh Rabick. It's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people.
It's a busy day.
All stars, I would say. You know?
It's a busy day.
You can fill out like three all Fanatic teams from that list.
Good
you know?
Point.
First team, second team, third team.
I brought up the point the last one we did when I was arguing with everybody about Fletcher
you
Cox.
You versus everybody on Fletcher Cox.
Yes.
Yeah.
I won.
Yeah, you did.
Because he won a Super Bowl.
That was correct.
And he was an all-league player that year. I won.
And the other one, of course, was that I remember was John Kruk just regaling. Like if there were six of us up there on the dais and we were just listening to John Kruk talk about the 93 Phillies for like an hour.
Tell the stories, my man.
And I looked at my phone. I was like, okay, well, now I'm going to go. That was fun, guys. I'll see you later.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, this is going to be a good time, too.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Look forward to it. So, hopefully, you all have a chance to listen, and hopefully, we give you a good show that day from 6 to midnight.
Fingers crossed.
On the Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Call it for what it is. They leave us out. It's 6 to 6. Bring those guys in at night.
Yeah, I mean,
it is what it is.
We'll get dinner here. It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
That's all right. We got it.
We tell them.
There's no rules!
I want Mike to come back at 7 p.m.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And I'm going to tell him right. That. And I'm going to tell Anthony, you come in at 9:30.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. And then we're going to tell Mark to come in at like 11.
Yes.
And he'll say, have a good night, Joe. I'll talk to you later. I've got to be up in like 3 hours.
Deal with it.
There we go. That's how it'll work.
Let's go to Chris in Williamstown next on the Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Devon, Joe, let's not forget there was also a time where Mike worked the very shift that, Devon, you were working, the 6 to 10 shift. Mike worked that for quite a while back in the day. So, yeah, you know, I always look forward to listening.
For him. Yeah.
I always enjoy listening to the All-Stars. You know, you guys do a great job. I mean, you guys fill in going into the other shows. Now, I agree you should get some relief and get some help, you know. Some TV time wouldn't be nice to either. Like,
I'm not worried about the TV time. I'm just saying.
Oh, I got to get Devon on TV. I'm getting a cut of whatever Devon gets for his TV career, so I got to make sure that happens.
That is true. Joe's my agent.
Strangely enough, I was always listed at 6'3.5". So how do you work that? Do you round up or do you round down?
I just to be safe, you're 6'6" to me. You know, just to be safe, we'll just make sure that, you know, everybody knows.
Look, you know what? I know the Raptors lost Kawhi Leonard, but you know, in my heart of hearts, I still think, you know, whether it's Kyle Lowry, whether it's Pascal Siakam, whether it's Mark Gasol, I still think that team is going to be good enough to compete.
Mm.
I still, for the life of me, you know, to this day, can't figure out why nobody decided to stick around in the East, knowing they had a guaranteed pretty much ticket to the finals. No Durant, Kyrie. But I do think Boston, and you guys were talking about it a little while ago, I think Boston, their attitude by nature of the punch you in the mouth, whether it's Marcus Smart, whether it's, you know, Rozier, whether, and not so much Horford, but, you know, just a team in general, like, you know, I always expect them now, even with Kemba, like, to be a team that will still score points. I think Kemba, what we saw against us, 40-plus, if he played, like, that wasn't, you know, something that he's just going to, it's just going to disappear. I still think Boston.
They're going to be a problem. They're going to be a problem. So, yeah.
But, you know, regardless whether KD comes back later in the season or not, which I doubt it, you know, I still think this team, our team, has a lot of growing to do with all the new influx of parts they brought in. I think this team has a lot of gelling to do. So I almost expect this team to come off the way the Eagles came off this start of the season, whether it's going to be a slow start where they're going to be having to get their nicks and bruises early.
Well, real fast before we let you go, give us a score for Sunday, Chris.
Honestly, I really believe it could be 31-10. I think the Eagles could run away with this.
Right on, right around the average.
Even with Le'Veon Bell, Jameson Crowder, I still don't think they have enough to really be a threat.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yep. Enjoy the game. He's going to Boston again, being a tough out.
Well, I mean,
Toronto as well.
We talked about this too, D, is that winning, there are two ways to look at it, right? It's one, teams are not excited to take the path of least resistance anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that a lot of teams saw, just not to pick on one guy, but mm-hmm. to see the way that Kevin Durant said, I want to win. This is the way to win. I like the way they play basketball. I'm going to do it this way in Golden State. I think a lot of people saw the reception to that and were like, I don't want to go through that, right? So, like, I don't want to load up on a team in the Eastern Conference where there's no competition. Like, that's one way of looking at it.
Right.
The other way of looking at it is that winning is not the thing that drives everybody. Now.
No.
You know what I mean? You're a pro basketball player. You see LeBron doing stuff with the shop. You see Kevin Durant doing stuff with his TV show and everything that he's trying to get rolling. There are opportunities in Brooklyn. There are opportunities in Los Angeles. There are opportunities in a lot of different places mm-hmm. to build your brand. And that is becoming more and more important to guys as opposed to being obsessed with championships and having a number of rings that you're chasing.
How about that?
I mean,
you would think that's important, but
it's two ways of looking at it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You think I don't know. people look at that as such a bad thing.
Uh-huh.
And I probably would have used to. It's different folks are just different. Like, I try to think of, like, if I were really, really good at something that I didn't love, right? Like, if I was an outrageous stock trader and I was unbelievable at, like, picking which stocks are going to go up and go down, but I didn't love it, would I be obsessed with, like, being the best and having the best numbers at that and finding new and innovative ways to trade stocks? Or would I be like, all right, I'm making a lot of money to do this and I'll just do it. I think that there's a significant, I think it's hard to get to the NBA without some level of ultra compete and without some level of, you know, something additional beyond your talent. I just don't know that everybody's wired the Kobe, Michael Jordan way.
No, they're not.
You know, I don't think so.
No, we see it far too much. Far too much. And some of these guys don't make it in the league because they don't have that drive and that desire to continue to do it. And then you have players who sneak in the second round, Draymond Green, and stick.
Yeah.
And work themselves into what they work and are maniacal in that way, where they want to win. They have to win. They must win. They call Kevin Durant after losing the NBA Finals in the parking lot. Because I want to win.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then I've also talked to guys, I'm sure that you have too, who come into the league like Kobe and MJ and then get a wake-up call where they're like, all right, there are a lot of people that are a lot better than me, and I can always be working on myself, but no matter how good I get and how hard I work, I'm never going to catch Damian Lillard. So it's time for me to have like an adjusted set of expectations for who I am as a player and what I'm going to do. Like, we've seen that,
too. Yeah, and apparently you can't catch Damian Lillard with his music either, because I haven't heard it, but he's destroyed Shaq twice, it appears, in 1 week.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
On the diss tracks. Okay.
It's a bold move.
Well, hey, Shaq started it, apparently, so.
I guess that's true. There you go. You always clap
bold
back.
Bold move by Shaq. Going at the number one guy in basketball who can make music the way he does. That's Joe Torre. I'm Devon Givens, 610-632-0975. Joe? Chris Young, he's gone. What about everybody else with the Phillies? The Flyers win 4-3. We'll talk about all that stuff as well on the other side here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.